morning, everybody. We have a very special zechus this morning that Rav Daniel Stein has agreed to come and give a shiur to us. For those who don't know, I assume most of you do know that Rav Stein is a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. And one of the, I asked him to do something in his unique style. If you've ever seen his sefer, his outstanding sefer, Chamudei Daniel, not the same Chamudei Daniel that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from time to time, a different Chamudei Daniel, you'll see a unique and very special style of drush combined with some element of lamdus and a broadness that one would expect from the very finest Talmidim of Moreinu, Rav Shechter Shlita. And Rav Stein is a very beloved Rebbe in Yeshiva because of not only his personality and his magnetic personality, but his clarity in learning and his ability to give over Torah in such a with such fluency in all of the inyanim that he says. So I'm just very grateful that Rav Stein has agreed to share some Divrei Torah with us this morning. Thank you, Rav Stein.
I'm grateful to Rabbi Leibowitz for giving me the privilege, the zechus, the honor to visit really such a special camp, such as Camp Keli, which is renowned as a makom Torah and Chesed intertwined together with one another, the highest of all of our aspirations, and together with this a distinguished group to share some Divrei Torah, perhaps some Divrei Chizuk, Me'inyana D'Yoma. The Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha describes Yeshua as Ish Asher Ruach Boy, a person who has a unique spirit about him. Rashi explains he was able to inspire, to deal, to connect with all the different demographics within Klal Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, you're zoche this summer to be able to sit together with Rabbi Leibowitz, who is not Yeshua, but such an individual as well. Rabbi Leibowitz, as you all know, used to teach in DRS for many years, and then, which is high school, went to Landers, taught undergraduates, and now Baruch Hashem has led and uplifted really the Smicha program at Reed to new heights, connecting with all different types of demographics other than his activities in the shul and online throughout Klal Yisrael. It's a zechus for me to be able to consider him one of my close friends, the Yadid Nefesh, and I'm happy, so honored to work together with him, and you really have such a privilege and a unique opportunity to learn together with him this summer, and I encourage you to really make the most of that opportunity. As you get older, you realize the experiences from different summers which you had, however positive and however much motivation and learning one was able to do, you don't remember everything necessarily that happened years or decades later. But there are certain pictures or episodes or events that happen that stick out in your mind. When I was around your age, I used to spend summer in Marosh HaKol. I was able to spend a few summers there together with Rabbi Willig Shlita. So I remember, a few things that happened. I won't go through all of them now, but just one, that stands out in my mind was in the summer of 1996, about 25 years ago. Rav Chaim Ilson, who's one of the most dynamic and charismatic Talmidim of the Rav, if you've never heard him, please try and find an opportunity to hear him. Really something outstanding. So Chaim Ilson came, none of us had any idea who he was, but he came to visit Marosh HaKol, which was unusual, he lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So we later learned it was because he was thinking about opening a yeshiva the following year. The yeshiva, I think, has since closed and opened and closed again. I don't know where they're holding. But it was the year before he opened the yeshiva. And he was coming to see Vostutzich, what's going on over here by American Bachurim. He was really a little bit out of touch from the scene, and he wanted to come to see what's going on, to figure out if he should open a yeshiva, how he should go about doing it. So he came and he visited and he said a shir, a Dvar Torah in the name of the Rav. So I'm not Rav Chaim Ilson, I'm not as charismatic or dynamic, I'm not a Talmud of the Rav. My Rebbe was Rav Shechter Shlita, and I'm not planning on opening yeshiva anytime soon. But I'd like to share with you the Dvar Torah that he shared at that time, which I thought was so powerful. And Yitzh Hashem, maybe Machshava, that also emanates from that Dvar Torah. But it's based on the principle that emerges from this week's parasha, that the first carbon that was brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash was the carbon tamid. All of the other carbonos of the day had to be brought after the carbon tamid. As the pasuk says, Movad, Olas HaBoker, Asher Lo Olas HaTamid, Tasu es Eile. Okay, right. Thank you for not doing that. But that's the basis, right? The first carbon that was brought every day was the carbon tamid. Every carbon had to be brought after that. And from that, the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim and Af Peites derives the rule, or formulates the principle, that kol hatadir mechaveroi kaidem lechaveroi. Whatever is more common, is more frequent than, you know, its friend, comes, you know, takes precedence. Whenever you have two mitzvahs that present themselves simultaneously, the mitzvah that's more common, that's more frequent, that's tadir, that comes first. And it's not only the tadir, right, the carbon tamid that had to come before the other karbanos of the day. The Mishnah extends this to other situations of two karbanos that present themselves simultaneously. So let's say, like this Shabbos, is going to be, not this Shabbos, the following week will be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Av. So you have to bring two musafim. One for Shabbos, one for Rosh Chodesh. So which one comes first? The Mishnah says you bring the carbon of Shabbos, the musaf of Shabbos, before the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, because tadir, v'she'eino tadir, when you have a frequent mitzvah and a less common mitzvah that present themselves simultaneously, tadir kaidem. That's what comes first. And it's not only in the realm of karbonis, right? This applies to our daily lives as well and all different kinds of activities. I'm sure there are multitudes of examples, but just a few that come to mind, right? So to show how familiar we are with this principle, let's say in 2 weeks, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we're going to be benching. So you have to say, Ritzei, Yao v'yavoi, which comes first? We know Ritzei comes first. Why? Because we bench every Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh only comes once a month. Tadir, v'sheinu tadir, tadir kaidem. A person gets dressed, you know, puts on talis and tefillin in the morning, for those who wear talis gadol. So you have, literally, two mitzvahs in the same bag, if you put your tefillin in your talis bag. So which are you going to do first, the tefillin or the talis? So we pass in Shulchan Aruch that you do talis first. One of the reasons for that is because tzitzis we do every day, as opposed to tefillin. There's some days throughout the year we don't put on tefillin. Shabbos, Yontif, there's no tefillin. Tadir, v'she'eino tadir, tadir kaidem. Perhaps a less, you know, frequent example, but important nonetheless, appears in Shulchan Aruch and could come up, is if, let's say, a person's shul schleps davening. It's Simchas Torah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Some shuls start later than other shuls. I won't tell you what time my shul starts Shacharis on Shabbos morning, but some shuls start later than others. You never know. Adahachi v'hachi. By the time Shacharis and Kriyas HaTorah is over, it's already the Zman Mincha. It's 12:30, Mincha Gedayla. And now you have a dilemma. Should we daven Musaf? Should we daven Mincha? It says the Machleks in the Gemara, when the Zman Musaf, you know, ends, we paskin, it ends at the Shkia. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch quotes some Taisis, Masechtas Brachos, that if you have, you know, two mitzvahs that present themselves, one being Mincha, one being Musaf, you should daven Mincha first. Mincha we have every day of the year. Musaf is only on Shabbos and Yontif. So again, Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir kaidem. Shulchan Aruch quotes the name of the Rosh, not to do this but Tzibur. If you have a whole Tzibur that needs to daven Mincha and Musaf, you should not do Mincha first, because people will become confused the other weeks in the year when it's not the Zman Mincha yet. They'll think Mincha comes before Musaf, and they'll start davening Mincha before, you know, half an hour after Chatzos, and you'll end up with a bigger problem. So better keep people on their, you know, autopilot of Musaf and then Mincha rather than, you know, staring their schedule. But Me'ikar Adin, really Mincha should have come before Musaf. Oh, that's a common example, but happens every year, is a Motzei Shabbos Chanukah. Right? There's always at least one Shabbos during Chanukah. So you have to make Havdalah and light Halakas Ner Shabbos after Shabbos. So which should you do first? So it actually says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should light Chanukah Licht first, before Havdalah, to prolong Shabbos. So we delay Havdalah. You'll ask, but you're lighting Ner Chanukah. How is it still Shabbos? Good Kasha, and that's what many ask. However, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You should light Halakas Ner Chanukah first and delay Havdalah. The Taz is, and that's the practice by most, at least in their homes, is that they first make Havdalah, and then they light Chanukah Licht. Why? Havdalah is every Motzei Shabbos. Chanukah is only 8 days out of the year. Tadir v'sheinu tadir, right? Tadir koidem. But it could even be a more basic thing that literally happens every Shabbos. When you're making Kiddush on Friday night, you make Bar Pri HaGofen before Mekadosh HaShabbos. Why do we make Bar Pri HaGofen before Mekadosh HaShabbos instead of Mekadosh HaShabbos before Bar Pri HaGofen? So one opinion in the Gemara is the reason why we do this is, again, because tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir koidem. Bar Pri HaGofen is, you know, quite frequent. Mekadosh HaShabbos is only once a week. Tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir koidem. So this principle, you know, comes up throughout Jewish life. We're quite familiar with it. However, Bochana Wasserman in his Kovitz Shurim Klerz HaKira. What's the pshat? why is it that Tadir comes before Eino Tadir? So I think the most intuitive approach is what he suggests first, is that perhaps it's because the Tadir is more important than the Eino Tadir. The Tadir mitzvah that happens, you know, frequently, perhaps that's why it happens so often, because the messages of this mitzvah are so critical that we need, you know, to constantly go back to it. But the Tadir, perhaps, you know, the reason why it goes first or takes precedence is because it's more chashuv. It's more important than the Eino Tadir. Maybe that's the understanding, the explanation for this principle. Or maybe it's not that at all. It's more arbitrary. Mashalamad Davidayman. You have, I don't know how many people here drive, I assume everyone. You have two cars come to an intersection. So if it's a four-way stop, everyone's got to stop. But let's say it's a two-way stop, right? It's a one-way stop. The other, I don't know what that's called, but one road has, you know, is able to continue driving. The other two have to stop. Now, does that mean that the person who doesn't have a stop sign is more important, is a, you know, a more spiritual person, where he's going is more pressing than the person who's sitting behind the stop sign? He's driving a nicer car? No, lav davka. He could be driving a jalopy, going to be, you know, waste time, doing whatever he's doing. The other guy could be, you know, going to something quite important. Doesn't matter. He has to stop at the stop sign. He has to go here. Why? Because we have to have rules of the road. You have to have a right of way. When you have a dilemma of two people want to get to the same, you know, go through the same place at the same time, we just have to sometimes make arbitrary decisions about who's going to have the right of way. But it doesn't necessarily imply anything about, you know, either one of the two, you know, the two parties that are engaged in this dilemma. Or let's say the Suez Canal, which we all know about now, right? So you have to have, used to be at least one boat could go through. Then, you know what I'm talking about? You guys don't know what I'm talking about. One boat got stuck forever, right? So you have to have two boats need to go. I'm sure there's, I don't know what the right of way by boats is, but I'm sure there's a right of way principle, you know, that the rules of the sea that give one boat, you know, precedence over the other. I mean, that boat is carrying more precious cargo? No. You just have to make a decision. So maybe, Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem is only because we just have to have a right of way. I have two mitzvahs present themselves simultaneously. Which one comes first? Which one comes second? I don't know, but we have to have a rule. The rule is, whatever is more frequent, whatever is more common, you know, takes precedence. Not necessarily because it's more important. That's just, you know, the arbitrary rule that the Torah put in place as a kind of a right of way, of rules of the road. And I believe that in fact, that latter explanation seems to be the approach of many Rishonim. Tosfos is quoted in the name of the Ri. Situation we described previously. A guy is, it's after, you know, Zman Mincha has already arrived. Mincha Gedolah. He hasn't yet daven Musaf. What should he do? So he said, Shulchan Aruch passes, you should daven, if as long as it's not the main minyan in Shul, where people become confused, you should daven Mincha before Musaf. But Tosfos quotes in the name of the Ri, that's only if you're interested in davening Mincha now. If you're not interested in davening mincha now, I'm going to daven with the shul minyan later on. I have no interest in davening mincha now. I don't have to daven mincha now. I'm going to go home and eat. You're really not supposed to sit down for a meal until you daven mincha. Maybe the meal I'm going to have is not a big meal. It's a smaller meal where I'm allowed to eat that meal prior to davening mincha. So I don't have to daven mincha now necessarily. Then Tosfos quotes the name of the Reef. If you're not interested in doing both mitzvahs now, so then you can, you know, be mocked in. You can do first the Eino Tadir before the Tadir. Or, you know, a more common example, a person, let's say, has Talis and Tefillin. He's from those people who puts on the Talis Gadol. But he doesn't have his Talis Gadol here yet. Someone else borrowed it, and they haven't brought it back yet. So he's sitting in Shul. Should he put on Tefillin? Or should he wait for his Talis in order to put on Tefillin? Because I'm all Paskins. Even though when I have both in the same bag and both available right in front of me, you should do Tzitzis before Tefillin, Tadir, Vesheinu, Tadir, Tadir, Kodem. That's only if, you know, I have both in front of me. If I don't have both in front of me, even though it's going to arrive soon, I don't have to wait to do the Eino Tadir till after doing the Tadir, because they're not right here now. The only time you have to do, you have to, you know, be mocked in the Tadir before the Eino Tadir. If they're both here, I'm interested in doing both. If that's not the case, you can do the Eino Tadir first. Well, the Bialacha quotes in the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Moruk Siyah, this could happen to many people in Yeshiva, during Sfiras HaOmer, right, you have to daven Maariv and say Sfiras HaOmer. Which comes first? Maariv is Tadir, Sfiras HaOmer is Eino Tadir, it's only 49 days out of the calendar. Maariv is every day. So we're mocked in Maariv, we do Maariv before Sfiras HaOmer. Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. What if I'm diving at a 10 o'clock Maariv? And I remember Sfiras HaOmer at 8:30, it's already after the Tzeis HaKechavim. Should I say Sfiras HaOmer before Maariv, or do I have to wait So Yaakov Emden says, no, you're waiting for whatever reason to daven Marav later on. And you have a heter to do that because it's a minyan kavua, it's a set minyan, and you always daven there for whatever, you know, you have many people are going to remind you, you're not eating any meals. I could wait to daven Marav, but of course, better to do mitzvah bo yelah, atach min tzedes, reason why I'm feeling like mitzvahs, but whatever reason, I have a machajman that I wait to daven Marav. But if I'm going to remember, you know, Tzvira Tzayimah before, then I have the right to count Tzvira Tzayimah before. Because even though Tadav, Yishenu Tadav, Tadav Kaidem, that's only if I'm interested in doing both now. Marav, I'm going to daven later on. The truth of the matter is, though, the Bi'alacha quotes from the Chayk Yaakov, you shouldn't do that. You should wait to say Tzvira Tzayimah until after Marav, and that's where Rav Moshe Paskins. You shouldn't say Tzvira Tzayimah before Marav. But I think that that's also, because of the motivation, that you're going to forget Tzvira Tzayimah if you start messing again with the schedule. Better to leave things on their set schedule that you say Tzvira Tzayimah after Marav. So, you know, halakha l'maaseh, you shouldn't do it, but it sounds like in principle that would be something that was acceptable because, again, both mitzvahs are not right in front of you. Another common example, this comes up all the time, perhaps we haven't thought about it, is many people have a minig, I don't know how many people in this room, have the minig to take the dalamim in the sukkah before going to shul on sukkahs. Mr. Brewer quotes like that from the Ariya Kodesh. Why? Because it's both mitzvahs really represent achdus. The sukkah represents Achdus Kol Ezek V'Yisrael Yeshuv HaSukkah. The Dalaminim represents all the different kinds of Jews coming together to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So we have two mitzvahs on sukkah, so I think we want to blend both kinds of Achdus. Maybe they represent different forms of Achdus, and we want to unite all of them under one roof. In the sukkah, we take the Dalaminim in the sukkah. Beautiful, wonderful. So many kavonis and nice messages in doing that. Litvisha people generally do not do this. Rav Moshe already writes in Igros Moshe and many others. This is not the practice of Salvation either. They dafka waited to take Dalaminim in Shul together with Hallel, because they believed Hallel was an enhancement of the fundamental mitzvah of Lulav. If you're going to take Lulav before you ever come to Shul, Lulav is over, and then you shake the Lulav during Hallel, it has nothing to do with the primary mitzvah of Lulav. So better to do Lulav together with Hallel rather than doing it in the sukkah. Would be best if you could do both. So sometimes shuls have a sukkah that's right outside. Some shuls will take a break after Shacharis. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Go outside, take Dalaminim in the sukkah, and then come back, you know, while you're still holding your Dalaminim from the sukkah. That's fun. You can do that in the bungalow. It's very easy if you're ever here for sukkahs. Sukkahs are all outside. They usually are down. Last year during Corona, we were davening outside. The sukkahs was outside. I said, it's a chutzpah not to do it. The sukkah was right here. We were davening over here. I said, why not? But, okay, very nice. There's a problem, though. The chassidim, it's a beautiful minute from the Ariya Kodesh. The problem is, how can you take Dalaminim, right, those who do it not the break between Shacharis and Hallel, you're going to do it before you ever come to Shul. Tadav v'sheinu tadav, tadav kodem. I have two mitzvahs in front of me, Dalaminim and Shacharis. So you should daven Shacharis before Dalaminim. Shacharis is every day, Dalaminim is only a few days throughout the year. Tadav v'sheinu tadav, tadav kodem. How are you allowed to do this? So many poskim resolve the issue, Rashi Weiss has it in Chasasha, but I've seen it in many other places too, that is because, no, it's because you're not interested in davening Shacharis yet. For whatever reason, I'm going to daven at an 8:30 minyan on Chol HaMoed or on Sukkot. 9 o'clock. I'm waking up early to do Dalaminim in the sukkah, where I'm not ready to daven Shacharis yet. The only time we say Tadav v'sheinu tadav, Tadav kodem, is when I'm interested in doing both mitzvahs now. But I'm not interested in doing Shacharis now. I'm going to wait for Shacharis. If that's the pshat, so I think parenthetically, I'll get to your question in a second. If that's the pshat, I have a ha'ara, which is many people, I believe, who have this minig are running out to shul. It's already time for Shacharis. They're late. Or something, or at least it's already time for Shacharis, and they say, oh, I have to take Dalaminim in the sukkah before I go. That's wrong. Yeah, if you want to do it, because now it's already Zman Shacharis, how could you do it? They're both in front of you, Tadav v'sheinu tadav, Tadav kodem. It should really be a person wakes up before the Zman Tefillah hasn't yet arrived, then you can take your Dalaminim in the sukkah before going and running to Shacharis. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Well, we're applying to Tadav v'sheinu tadav, is one mitzvah being there, right?
It's a big machlek, so I probably seem excellent kasha. Some hold yes, some hold no. Like the Shagasari and the Native Hebrew, yeah.
What about one mitzvah being a mitzvah
of Bash? Oh, we'll get to your point, right? Literally right now. Okay? So, but what gives me the right, though, to do this? I'll get to your point. What's your name? Very good point. So we'll get to your point in 1 second. But just in terms of reflecting on this principle that Tosfos quotes the name of the Riyah, what do you want to say?
Sorry, I was just wanted to ask, would it also be a difference, like, in terms of, like, the case of the minion of, like, I can daven now without a minion, or I can daven later with the minion, so how would that affect, like, the tzedek being...
It's such a post-corona shiloh. Right, we should always have them with a mean. but yeah.
That would affect. That could affect the case of like a move up, for example. Meaning like.
If I'm not interested in dominating now because I'm not planning on going to the minion, but the minion is now, you should probably go. Yeah.
Or meaning if it's dominating now or dominating like at 8, if it's dominating now and not doing a little bit of sugar or doing a little bit of sugar and then dominating with the minion at 30.
Yeah, it could be a lot of different permutations. Depends if you're, depends why you're not. Well, it could be a million different factors. It's already a complex shaila. But we're just talking about it in, in principle. But let's just reflect on this Yesai that the Tais is called to the name of the Reed that appears in Shulchan Aruch. That you only say Tadav Yishenu Tadav Kodem if they're both in front of me right now and I want to do both, not if, one is, I'm not interested in performing it yet. But what gives me the right to do that? If the Tadir is more important than the Eno Tadir, that should always have to come first. What do you mean you're not interested in doing it now? That's the more important mitzvah. It can't come before the Eno Tadir. It's offensive to the Tadir to have the Eno Tadir go first. So what gives you the right to say, well, I'm not interested in doing it now, so I'm going to do it, some other order? Shouldn't be allowed to do that. It itself implies, tell you the name of the reason, this Yesoid, itself implies we're just dealing with a matter of right of way. An arbitrary decision what to do in a dilemma because we don't know how else to resolve it. So we have a rule that whatever is more frequent, whatever is more common goes first. But it doesn't necessarily imply that one mitzvah is more important necessarily than the other. So if I don't have a dilemma, they're not presenting themselves simultaneously in the sense that I'm interested in fulfilling both now, so do it in a different way. And that's fine. Yeah, come here. I don't think I'm making, jumping to conclusions and making that inference. Problem is that Rav Chanan Wasserman has a raya to the other approach. The Tadir v'sheinu Tadir Kaida means that the Tadir is more important. What's his raya from? It seems to be a Gemara Maseches Menachos. The Gemara says the following. What if I only have one carbon, one animal? I can either use it for the carbon tamid, or I could use it for the carbon musaf of that same cycle. Which should I use it for? So Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, you should use it for the carbon tamid. Why? Seems to say, because Tadir v'she'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Tadir v'she'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodem doesn't only address the ordering of mitzvahs, but it also addresses, if I only have the ability or resources to do one of them, we not only give precedence to the Tadir, we give preference to the Tadir, and we do the Tadir at the expense of the Eno Tadir, which was your situation. You can only do one. So which should I do? The Tadir is what you should do, before the Eno Tadir. Now, doesn't that imply, so B'chanan Wasserman, isn't jumping to conclusions either, doesn't that imply that the Tadir is more important than the Eno Tadir? If I only have one animal, I'm using it for the carbon tamid instead of the carbon musaf, because the carbon tamid is frequent, it's more common, that implies that it's more important. However, I think that we can disagree and argue. I hear where he's coming from, and it's a compelling argument, but I think one could, one could counter that no, here also could just be a right of way. You have scarce resources. What do we do with it? One mitzvah or another mitzvah, it's impossible to discern which mitzvah is more important than any other mitzvah. The Mishnah tells us in others, havizor b'mitzvah kala k'bachamura, you have to be careful with the small, easy mitzvahs, what appears to us to be small and easy, as much as the stringent or hard or difficult or big mitzvahs, the big ticket items, k'she'ein atayudea, we don't know which mitzvah is more important than another. By loisa says, we know the hierarchy, right? If one, prohibition has malchus, it's severe, but misas beisdin, right, is much more severe. So we can tell, based on the punishment that you incur for violating them, which one is more important. When it comes to mitzvahs, that's not the case. We don't know, in the triage of mitzvahs, which one is more important. So maybe, therefore, we have to argue that Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, even in a situation, not of precedence, of one coming before the other, but of preference, one at the expense of the other, is also only a right of way. It's just an arbitrary decision. We have to do something. When you only have scarce resources, do one mitzvah or another, you got to make a choice. Which one are you going to do? You do the Tadir before the Eno Tadir, but that doesn't necessarily imply that the Tadir is more important than the Eno Tadir. And I have a raya. To your situation, Rebelli. What about the following scenario, which the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah discusses? We discuss Mincha versus Musaf at the beginning of the Zman Mincha. What about at the end? A person, for whatever reason, waited to the end of the Zman. He didn't daven Musaf. He didn't daven Mincha. There's only time before the Shkia to daven one of them. What should he do? So Mishnah Berurah calls him the Dagam Ravava, based on what we've said, from Nodi Behuda, what you should do is daven Mincha. Mincha you have every day, that's Tadir. Musaf only a few days out of the year, that's Eno Tadir. And Tadir v'sheinu Tadir doesn't only apply in terms of ordering them, it's just one after the other, which comes first, but one at the expense of the other. You only have time to do one, you daven Mincha, and you forget, you have to forfeit Musaf for that day. Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, legitimate argument. The Magen Avraham, though, says otherwise. And he suggests No, you should daven musaf. Why? Mr. Brewer quotes both opinions. You should daven musaf. Why? Because musaf, if I daven musaf before the shkia, I'll be yaitzei musaf. And mincha, I can make up later with a tfilas tashlumen by marv. Now that's taking a stand in what the nature of tfilas tashlumen is all about. And maybe that's exactly what the Magen Avraham and the Dagom Ravavar, you know, is the point of their dispute. What is the nature of tfilas tashlumen? Is it really making up for mincha? Or maybe it's accomplishing something else. We're not getting into that now. But the Magen Avraham, at least in terms of tadi v'sheinu tadi, tadi kredim, says the only time you have to be makdim, you have to do the tadi before the eino tadir, is if, you know, I'll either be able to perform both in the end of the day, or only one. Then the tadir takes precedence and preference over the eino tadir. But what if you have such a situation where if I do the tadir before the eino tadir, they will box one out. They will knock one off the road. I'll only be able to do one. But if I'll do the reverse, I'll do the eino tadir before the tadir, I'll be able to accomplish both. If I daven musaf, you know, before the shkia, I'll get musaf, copyright musaf, and then I can cop mincha with the tefillas tashlumen of marv. So Magen Avraham says there, no one would apply the rule of tadi v'sheinu tadi, tadir kaidem. Because if you do it that way, you only get one mitzvah here, I'll cop a rhyme both. I don't think you can make that argument unless tadi v'sheinu tadi, tadir kaidem, in both instances, whether it's precedence or it's preference, one at the expense of the other, is only, you know, an arbitrary decision because we don't know how else to resolve this dilemma, this conflict between the two mitzvahs that present themselves simultaneously. What do? If you can only do one, so we choose the tadir. So that, you know, if that's the reason, if it's arbitrary, then it might only exist in a vacuum. But if I have another reason, another motivation that's legitimate for switching the order, it's not offensive and it's not wrong to do the eino tadir before the tadir because there's a good and legitimate reason to do it. If it would be because of chashivus, because the tadir is more chashuv than the eino tadir, I don't have a right to play around with the kavod of the, you know, of mincha at the expense of musaf, you know, in order to chaperon musaf. But if it's not because the tadir is more chashuv than the eino tadir, it's because we just have to figure out how to juggle religious life and triage the different things, you know, all of our responsibilities. Well, then maybe if I have a better way of doing it, so then you can be mocking the eino tadir to the tadir. So Salvechik used this yesoid to answer a kasha that he had, which I never thought about till then. Maybe you thought about it. What do we do every Shabbos Chol HaMoed? Sukkos, Pesach, doing Shavuos too. We're in a Megillah, right? Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Sukkos is Keheles. Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Pesach, Shir HaShirim. Shavuos, we lay in Megillah Suos. When do we do it? We do it before Kriyas HaTorah. How do we do it before Kriyas HaTorah? How often do we do these Megillahs? Once a year. Maybe they're part of a set, so three times a year. But how often do we then Kriyas HaTorah? Right, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Yontif, way more often than these Megillahs. Why does the Megillah come before Kriyas HaTorah? Is it a violation? Tadi v'sheinu tadi, tadi kodem. So Soloveitchik explained, based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Gemara says Masechta Shabbos, the Chazal were geyser, an iser of Kriyas Ksuvim on Shabbos. You're not allowed to read Ksuvim on Shabbos. It's better than a lot of the other things people read on Shabbos. But, you know, if they answered Ksuvim, a third of Tanakh, you know, I don't know what they would say about the other reading material that people have, you know, Me Magazine or Mishpacha, you know, if that's better than Ksuvim, but okay. Chazal would answer a lot of things now. You know, we can't speak for them. But Chazal answered Ksuvim. The Shabbos Mipnei Bito Beis HaMedrash. Because it keeps people away from coming to learn seriously in the Beis Medrash. Now you see from here a shocking principle, which the Rashash has in Masechtas Megillah, the Beis Ephraim has a famous tshuva about this, that there's a concept, a notion called Bittul Torah Be'echos. There's Bittul Torah. A person's learning Ksuvim. His mom is being ma'ayan into Ruth and Esther. He wasn't allowed to do that on Shabbos because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash. He's learning Torah after all. No, he could be accomplishing more. He could have been learning, you know, with more depth or something a little bit more challenging. You see that that's also a Bechina of Bittul Torah. A person learns, you know, superficially, and he could learn more substantially. That's also a bit of Torah. He could learn, you know, chazaring the same thing ad nauseam for no reason. Chazar is very important, but, you know, or he could go on and learn another mesecta. So there's a concept called bitul Torah be'echos, not only bitul Torah be'kamos. Bitul Torah in quality, not only bitul Torah in quantity. But when does this iser of Kriyas Ksuvim and Shabbos begin? So Soloveitchik suggested it begins at Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos morning and concludes at Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. That's the beginning of Seder. On Shabbos is Kriyas HaTorah. And he had a raya. Because Taisa says, Masechta Shabbos, the place can quote this, that there was a minig to laying ksuvim, to read ksuvim, after Shabbos Mincha. If you ever looked for Pirkei Avos in the Siddur, you'll notice it comes right after Shir HaMalos. All the 15 prakim of Shir HaMalos are right after Mincha. Why are there 15 prakim of Shir HaMalos right after Mincha? Why is that a time to say Shir HaMalos? The answer is because all Shabbos long, you're not allowed to read ksuvim. There's an iser of kriyas ksuvim if nei bito beis hamedrash, which is going to keep people from learning Torah more seriously. And when is that iser relieved? When is it over? Kriyas haTorah by Mincha. So then the minhag was, oh, finally, we can get back to our ksuvim. They would read Shir HaMalos. When does it begin? Kriyas haTorah Shabbos morning. So Sefer Salvechik Azai. Fantastic. He said, if you'll do the Keheles Shir HaShirim after Kriyas haTorah, won't be allowed to do it. It'll be a violation of Gzeiras, you know, the Is of Kriyas Ksuvim. So you have to do it before Kriyas haTorah. Ah, but it's Eino Tadir. How can I do the Eino Tadir before the Tadir? So Salvechik said this aside. If you'll do the Tadir first, you'll box out. You'll run off the road. Keheles and Shir HaShirim. We'll have to give it up. You won't be allowed to do it because of the Gzeiras Ksuvim. So when you can only do both one way, meaning if you'll be mocking the Tadir, you'll only get the Tadir, you won't get the Eino Tadir. But if I'll be mocked in the Eino Tadir, the one which is less common, less frequent, to that which is more common and more frequent, to the Tadir, I'll chaper on both, then you have the right to be mocked in the Eino Tadir, to the Tadir. How can I do that? Isn't the Tadir more important? Not necessarily. Maybe it's just an arbitrary decision. We don't know what else to do. The Torah gives us rules of the road. Right of way goes to the Tadir before the Eino Tadir. But if there's a good reason to switch the order, meaning I'll be able to chop both, you have the right to be mocked in the Eino Tadir to the Tadir. Yeah?
Why can't you say it's still a din in Hashivas just when it comes at the expense of totally uprooting another mitzvah? So then in that case, we say that.
Who gives you the right to judge how important the value, or how much more important the Tadir is versus the Eino Tadir? If it's because of importance, right? So then, let's say, right, if it would be, you know, two people, so one has a little bit more importance than the other, we can be Michael and his covered in these kinds of circumstances. What is you're talking about, you know, someone who's way more important than somebody else? It would take a lot more, right, to be presume we could be Michael and his covered. How do you know the stratification of mitzvahs to be able to assess, well, this need is good enough to forgive or to, you know, kind of overlook the covet of the Tadir? You would have to be able to quantify that and then say, well, this is more important. What gives the Magen Avraham the right to make that judgment call? But if it's, you could argue. You could go down with Rabbi Chanan, you could go down with the Shif. But I think that it makes a little bit more sense if it's arbitrary in terms of ordering mitzvahs or even just giving precedence, you know, right of way, as we call it. Then it makes a lot more sense that, well, that's only in the absence of some other legitimate argument, yeah.
Is it possible to say that there's actually a third category, maybe that the Tadir may come before Eino Tadir because people are, it's easier for them to perform the mitzvah. So in terms of like a sense of maybe a confidence of people being able to perform the mitzvah the right way, the mitzvahs come first.
The Tadir comes first because?
Because people can perform them better in an easier way because they do them more. When a person does the mitzvahs more often.
I find people are more excited to do mitzvahs that come less often. People love Dalaminim. They have a hard time with, not speaking Lashon Hara. The mitzvahs that come all the time are much harder than the mitzvahs that come infrequently. The mitzvahs that come frequently, people ignore them. The people that's the Dosh Ba'Kevav. The mitzvahs that come rarely, people rise to the occasion.
It's more of an excitement.
That's excitement, yeah. But let me just make one other observation, which I think has an important message for us. What is called Tadir? What is called Eino Tadir? So we've been translating until now, you know, what is more frequent, what is more common, to something which is less frequent and less common. However, the Mata Ephraim in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah actually defines them somewhat differently. That it's not what is more frequent or more common, but what is more regular or more consistent versus less consistent. He's discussing, what do you do on Rosh Chodesh Elul, when you have to say, we start saying Adavid Hashem Vayri, right, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Simchas Torah. We also say Baruch Hinafshi on Rosh Chodesh. Which comes first, Adavid Hashem Vayri or Baruch Hinafshi? So he passes Baruch Hinafshi comes first. Why? Adavid Hashem Vayri, we say, right, say many times, many more times. Baruch Hinafshi only say, what, say a few, you know, 15 times, but depending on how many 2 days Rosh Chodesh you have, just say it a few times out of the year. With Adavid Hashem Vayri, you say 40 times more. throughout the period of the Yomim Noraim. Why does Baruch Inavji come before with David Hashem Ayri? So Mount Ephraim explains, because Tadir doesn't depend on what's more common, what's more frequent, numerically, what's more prevalent, but rather, what's more consistent. But David Hashem Ayri is localized, is concentrated in one period of the year. Baruch Inavji is once a month on a regular basis. It's more consistent, even if it's not more common. And that's what comes first. And that's our meaning, to say Baruch Inavji before with David Hashem Ayri. And I think that this underscores the importance, not of frequency or prevalence in Yiddishkeit, but of consistency. You know, the Ein Yaakov quotes a Medrash. The Ein Yaakov is a commentary on the Haggadah of Shas, quotes in the Hakdamah a Medrash. We don't have in our version of the Medrash, but he's not the only one who quotes it. The Maral quotes in the Gevurah Hashem too. A Medrash that we don't have, which discusses debates between the Tanaim, which is the most central pasuk in the Torah. Right? Your favorite pasuk. You put on a t-shirt or a slogan or bumper sticker. So one opinion was, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Wow, you can't, how can you argue with that, right? That's the foundation of all mitzvahs, Bein Adam L'Mokam, the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Another Tana argues, V'havta Lo Yacha Kamoicha. Zekla Gala B'Torah, V'kiva's, you know, basic principle, which lies at the heart of all mitzvahs, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. But the Medrash paskins like a third opinion, like Shimon Ben Pazi, that the most important, or not most important, but most central pasuk in the entire Torah is Esakeves HaEchad. Esakeves HaEchad Taseh B'Boik, Esakeves HaSheni Taseh Beinu Arbaim, the pasuk in this week's parsha that has to do with the carbon tumah that was brought every day. And you see from here that perhaps the bedrock of Jewish life is not necessarily Shema Yisrael, but after those obviously critical principles, but the foundation of it all is consistent practice of the mitzvahs. As I keves ha'echa, ta'asa b'bek, as I keves ha'sheini, ta'asa ben rabbayim. If a person doesn't have, consistency at the heart of it, then, if he's haphazard, if he's random, picks and chooses in religious life, so then, or he's, then not able to be consistent, then the walls of his, religious life begin to crumble around him. And at the same time, if a person wants to be matzliach, in Limud HaTorah and other things, it's not necessarily a function of a person who stays up the latest and gets up the earliest. Those are good ideas. But the more important is to be there every day, consistently, not to miss a day. A person will become greater if he shows up every day, goes through Seder, even if he's not the last person in the Beis Medrash. Consistency, as HaKeves HaEcha Tasev HaBeker, is what will get a person, to his goals more quickly than sometimes going, fast slamming on the brakes. Consistency is at the heart of everything. And when consistency is disrupted, things begin to crumble, things begin to fall apart. One of the things that we mourned at Shavuos B'Tammuz was the Chet HaEgel. When did the Chet HaEgel happen? Which, right, of course, coincided with the Shviras Haluchos. When did the Chet HaEgel happen? Shavuos B'Tammuz. That's why we celebrated during this period of the year. It's a trick question, right? What color is the white elephant? So it happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz. When did the Mishkan happen? When did they build the Mishkan? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel on Yom Kippur. I think that's actually by the Chet HaMeraglim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us on Yom Kippur. We received the mitzvah to build the Mishkan on Sukkot. The Vilna Gaon claims that's what we're celebrating on Sukkot, receiving, they started the process of building the Mishkan, and it was inaugurated, dedicated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? A few months later. So the Chet HaEgel preceded by a few months the Mishkan. Where's the Chet HaEgel found in the Chumash, though? In between, right, Parshas Kisisa, in between, Truma Tetzaveh, you remember from Shnai Mikra, nightmares, Truma Tetzaveh is the mitzvah of the Mishkan, Vayakha Pekudei is its implementation. This one was the command, one was the implementation, it's all repeated, good question, we need four parshas dedicated to this one thing, but fine, two parshas on the mitzvah, two parashas on the dedication, perhaps to teach us how important it is to follow through in our goals. The Torah made two parashas about how they follow through. It's important not just to make plans, it's important to follow through. But what do you have in between it all? Kisisa, sandwiched in between the parashas of the Mishkan, Kisisa, which discusses the Chet HaEgel. But it happened earlier. So Rashi and Chumash already says, this teaches us a muktum and melocha b'Torah. There's no chronological order in the parashas of the Torah. Chet HaEgel happened before they received the mitzvah to build the Mishkan. Ein muktum and melocha b'Torah. Fantastic. And we look on. We move on. For 1 minute. What's it doing here? Of all places for it to be, right? Emotum and Wilkham Torah. It's not a chronological order, but it is in some order. It's there to teach us something. Why is the Chet HaEgel sandwiched in between the parashas of the Mishkan? So Sfasemis claims, Aderach HaJush, is coming to teach us what caused the Chet HaEgel. What caused the Chet HaEgel was a hafsaka, was an interruption. Klal Yisrael was, you know, flying high. Al Kanfei Nesharim from Mitzrayim on their way to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. But along the way, they hit a bump in the road. Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech, Vayilachim Yisrael, Berfidim, they were roughly Yudayim and Torah. They took a break, they were interrupted in their preparations for Har Sinai by Amalek. It was that interruption between Truma Tetzaveh and Vayakob Pekudei that led to the Chet HaEgel so much later on. Because it was a hafsaka, because it was an interruption. When you interrupt things, it's never the same anymore. They call him the name of Rabbi Yashiv, who reflected. Many reflect. You don't have to be Rabbi Yashiv to reflect, but his explanation, you know, is something unique. Is that in our times we have, you know, an explosion of Limud HaTorah Baruch Hashem. More people learning Torah now than ever were, arguably, in all of Jewish history. At the same time, everyone observes we have less Gedolei Yisrael than perhaps we had, you know, in previous generations. Why is that? So I have my own machshavas about this. I'm sure you might have, you know, your own speculations. Sociologically speaking, why is it that we have less Gedolei Yisrael? And I think it's a combination of many different factors. Rabbi Yashiv suggested it's perhaps even because he attributed it to this, that we're learning Torah, but there's so many interruptions. It's not the same, you know, as when there's no interruption. I have to take on my phone. We all interruptions are ad ein belida, right? It's overwhelming. Kibbon nine madnofish. How many interruptions there are? So you might be learning, but when there's an interruption, it's not the same. You don't have the same consistency. It's not the same experience. You don't get the same heights as a person, let's say, who's learning Torah, you know, with that same consistency. And that's, you know, happened. That's ultimately what led to the Chet HaEgel, which is one of the things we mourn on Shavuos B'Tammuz. It's one of the causes that foreshadowed to the Korban Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. I think it goes together with, you know, some of the other items. You know, the Mishnah tells us such a time there are five things that happen on Shavuos B'Tammuz that we mourn. Together with five on Tisha B'Av. Together, that's 10. Typically, the number 10 doesn't break out to 5 and 5. Typically, the number 10, if you pay attention to it, we could discuss what the significance of the number 10 is. They represent, you know, something important. But the number 10 typically breaks down into groups of 3 and 7. Look at the Haftiris, right? We have Shalosh, the Purnaisa, and Shiva, the Nechemta. 3 leading up to the Korban Beis HaMikdash, 7 of consolation afterwards. Or if you think about the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, how many days of Yomim Noiroim? You know, the primary days of Yom Kippur, 2 days, it's true, it's Yom Tovshein Shogali, it's but 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, 1 day, Yom Kippur. It's 3 and 7. The Makas and Mitzrayim are 10 Makas. How do they divide? How many parashas are they found in? 7 are found in parashas Va'era. 3 are found in parashas Bo. Bo is Gematria. 3, there are 3 parashas found in parashas Bo. So the number 10, you know, many, even in the Aseres HaDibros, how many mitzvahs relate directly to Hashem? Not Bein Adam L'Makom, directly to Hashem. The first 3, and not to take a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, right, in vain. The rest, you know, the other 7, are manifestations of those primary 3. So the, usually it breaks down to, even in Eretz Yisrael, there's 10 descriptions of Pesach Chaz and Parashas Ekev of Eretz Yisrael. 3 are water-oriented. Eretz Nachal Amayim, Ayonos U'Sohoimos. Rivers, lakes, and streams. But then you have Shivas Haminim. What grows off of these things? Eretz Kita, Sarah, Geffen, Tein, Arimon, Eretz Eitz, Shemin, Udvash. So you have 3 water sources, 7. The number 10 typically breaks down to 3 primary causes with 7 manifestations. We could discuss it more at length another time. But sometimes the number 10 breaks down into 2 groups of 5. Right? The Aseres HaDibros also. 5 was on one tablet, 5 was on the other tablet. Couldn't they all be fit on one tablet? There were so many miracles happening with the Lukos. We couldn't, you know, extend the page, legal size instead of letter size. Why did it have to be limited to those 5? No, the answer is 5 and 5 is significant. And Rabban already explains in Chumash that it comes to teach us about the relationship between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The number, when the number 10 breaks down to 5 and 5, it represents, Kilu, 2 hands. I know it's not in Yad B'Yad, right? 2 hands. Going in one to the other. 5 fingers with another 5 fingers. How do you bridge relationships with people? In the days before Corona, maybe after Corona, you shake hands with them. 5 and 5, our hands are interlocking. Aizel Echarif, no, not Rabbi Aizel Echarif, but Rabbi Yitzchak Aizel Chaver from the school of the Gra claims that that's why the hand is called a Yad, which is Yud and Dawud. Because if you move the Yud to the lower left, the bottom left of the Dawud, that is the shape of a Hay. Yud and Daud, because the Hey, the Yad has 5 fingers, right? The Yud, the Daud is like this. You put the Yud on the bottom. That's Hey, 5 fingers. And 2 hands, Mikdash Hashem, Koinenu Yadecha, the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash represented the bond between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Represents our relationship, like the Luchos, the Ramban says on Chumash, is Chasim V'Kala, is the relationship between our Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So 5 and 5 represents, you know, them coming together as one. Over here, right, in the Korban Beis HaMikdash, also happened with 5 and 5. There were 5 things that happened in the Shavuos B'Tamuz, 5 things that happened in the Tisha B'Av, represents the rupture, right, the dissolution of that relationship. And one of the primary causes of that was not only at the Chet HaEgel and the Shviras Halukos, but was also the Bitul HaTamid. One of the things that we mourn on Shavuos B'Tamuz was the fact that we lost that consistency of the Korban Tamid. And I think in our own lives we have a greater appreciation for that after going through Corona. It's so nice to be able to be back together with Chevra learning in a Beis Medrash spaced Kedas, you know, now Kedas or Kedin in a more warm fashion. We appreciate what a Hafsaka is all about. No one understands Hafsaka like those who've gone through a pandemic. We understand the destruction that it caused. Not only did we not have toilet paper and now you can't get cars and other things, right? Once the production line is disrupted, you can't get anything. But in our learning, in our spiritual growth, there was a tremendous disruption. We lost the carbon tamid, lahavdil, like happened in the times of the Korban Beis HaMikdash. And we look forward, during this period of the year, working on ourselves and renewing our commitment, renewing our commitment, not only to staying up late, staying, you know, getting up early, learning Torah b'asmada, be'echus, be'kamus, you know, in quantity and in quality, but also to do so consistently. And Mirz Hashem, if we do that, we recommit ourselves properly to keeping the Torah, all of the mitzvahs of the Torah with consistency, may we be zaycha to see the renewal, the restoration of the Karmen Tamen and the Beis HaMikdash from Hervi Ameinu Amen. Oh.